You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Gareth Topham and Kevin O'Malley. We've got Ascot, Haydock and Newcastle on Friday afternoon, Musselburgh and Kempton in the evening on the domestic front, and a couple of Irish meetings as well. Downroyal and Kilbeggan will bring you the best of the action from those venues as well. Right now, joining me in the studio to look ahead to the best of the action is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Well, very good afternoon, Mark. I'm very well indeed. Very well. And getting rather giddy looking ahead to the weekend.
Yes, let's just take a little bit of a glance towards the weekend. We're going to look at that and some of the news. Before we do, though, Pimmy, some of the news that's caught my eye. Cheltenham in November. The open meeting.
Yeah.
We can't call it the open meeting anymore.
No, it's gone from the open meeting to the November meeting.
Yeah, which makes a bit of sense. It's in November.
Yeah, well, it does, yeah. But as somebody said today, I've never seen anybody going with the golf clubs to Cheltenham in November.
In the wrong
you know
one.
What I mean? I'm at the wrong open. Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. How did they get that so wrong?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Meanwhile, there's a guy telling up on a horse at the golf course.
Yeah, exactly. And getting told off and chastised for putting hoof prints on the green.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Madness.
Madness, it is.
Absolute madness. If the world isn't crazy enough,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And we think in racing, we've got it bad. Well, that Royal and whatever, St Anne's or whatever it is,
yeah,
they must be bad, mustn't they? No wonder women weren't allowed in the golf club. They're living back in the whenevers.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
They are.
Rum going on, indeed. Rum going on.
Anyway.
But anyway, the
racing's still there. And it's
the great thing is the November meeting will be just equally as good as the open meeting.
It will.
If not better.
If not better.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what it will be.
What?
It'll be on a par with it.
Hey! See what you've done there.
Hey, you like that, don't you?
Yeah, that's good, that. Yeah, well done.
Happy days. Oh, who else knew, listener?
Who else knew? Let's have a little bit of a glance towards the weekend then, because we've got a superb weekend coming up. We've got the Haydock Sprint Cup on the domestic front, which is obviously a marvellous Group 1 contest, and a whole host of Group 1 racing over in Ireland for Irish Champions Weekend. We'll start with the domestic stuff, the Haydock Sprint Cup. A bit of sensible action going on there as well, because they brought it forward on the card because they're expecting bad weather. Which makes a bit of sense. It's going to be the third race on the card now rather than later on in the day.
Yeah, common sense has prevailed there at Haydock. I think I'd done that last year when Quiet Reflection got the job done really nicely in the hands of Dougie Costello. Again, wide open contest, as you'd imagine. Obviously, Harry Angel, who was successful the last time we saw him on the racecourse, he makes his appearance. He is a C&D winner as well in the past. Clive Cox's horse is in great form at this moment in time as well. So plenty of ticks in the boxes regarding Harry's Angel. Then you've got Brando, again, who came good last time out. He raced off an official mark of 116, does Brando. Very, very capable fella indeed. And he got the job done at Deauville last time out. And so he comes into the race in good heart. And what else have we got in there at the top of the betting, Marco?
Top end of the market, we've got Harry Angel 9-4, Brando 3-1, 5-1 for Taz Leet, The Tin Man is 7-1, 9-1 Blue Point, Magical Memory is 10s and 25s bar those.
Yeah, well, again, the Tin Man disappointed last time out, but you can forgive him that. If he bounces back to some sort of form, then you've definitely got to give him a little bit of a squeak. But he did underachieve behind Brando last time out. But again, I think that personally was just unfortunate, and I would forgive him that little bit of a disappointing run there. But to be fair, the form book says it's got to be Harry's Angel.
Yeah, yeah, Harry Angel, the July Cup winner. Last time we saw him beating the likes of Brando, and as you mentioned further back, there was the Tin Man that day on form. He should really come out on top, shouldn't he?
Yeah, and Taz Leet was behind him as well on that occasion. So yeah. If the form stands the test of time, then you know they've all got to beat the favourite.
Blue Point did beat him earlier on in the season, by the way. His fellow Godolphin inmate in the Pavilion Stakes. That was a Group 3. Do you think that Harry Angel's probably just progressed past him now?
I think he has, yeah. And I mean, he's been plying his trade, obviously, at the highest level all season, has Harry Angel. Whereas Blue Point's only been to the race course on two occasions. So, you know, he's fairly unexposed. There might be a bit more to come from him. But I'd still prefer to stick with the Clive Cox runner.
Yeah, who did reverse the form, by the way, in the Commonwealth Cup behind Caravaggio and then subsequently went on to win the July Cup. So it looks like he's the one to beat in the Sprint Cup then. Let's have a little bit of a glance towards the stuff happening in Ireland. The big race over the Irish Sea is the Champion Stakes. Pimmy, Churchill, the even-money favourite there. Eminent, the British Raider, 7-2. 8-1 for Poet's Word, 10-1 for Cliffs of Moher, 12-1 Success Days, 16s Decorated Knight, and 20-1 are bigger prices for the others. Quite a stellar lineup, but Churchill the even money favourite. Do you think that's?
I think that's worthy. Right? Yeah, I mean he's been in great form. Obviously Churchill, Eminence been good for him. Poet's Word's got to just up his game a little bit, but he certainly seems to be progressing for Sir Michael Stoutchard. Cliffs of Moher, again, very very capable horse. Success Days, 12-1 shot. And Decorated Knight, who for me hasn't quite lived up to expectations so far this season. I'm disappointed when I saw him on the Naismeyer back in August. And more than likely, again, 16-1 represents his chance, to be fair. But I'd love to see Churchill win it. And he's a worthy favourite for me. And a wonderful weekend of racing in Ireland this weekend. It's at Leopardstown. I think our very own Ken Pitterson could be there. Will he be live? Will he be exclusive for William Hill? Who knows?
He should be. But maybe he's on a jolly, we're not sure. We haven't had
it could be a busman's, is it? Is that what they call it? A busman's?
A busman's holiday, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know he drove a bus once.
They've Aidan O'Brien and the Coolmore team have decided that with Churchill going to the Champion Stakes, they're going to send Winter, the star filly, to the Matron Stakes to take on a couple of fellow Group 1 winning stablemates. Roly Poly, another Group 1 winner from the Aidan O'Brien yard, as is
Rhododendron, Hydrangea. Yeah. They're all very, very, very capable fillies in their own right, that is for sure. So Winter, she's exceptional though, isn't she?
Yeah.
And, you know, the price tells us the story. 10-11, and then it's 11-2 the field. So, you know, she takes a large chunk out the market, as does her stable companion, Churchill. But they are both very, very worthy favourites. And Aidan O'Brien looking towards that record of Group 1 wins.
Yep.
These two races could just take him that little bit closer, couldn't they?
Yeah, trying to break the Bobby Frankel record. By the way, I've seen worse ideas than putting Churchill and Winter in a double. That's almost 3-1 as well, so might not be a bad approach.
No. I could think of sillier doubles to think about, that is for sure.
Mm. Right, that's the weekend. We'll obviously concentrate more on that as we get closer to it. But let's concentrate on matters a little closer to hand, Pim. We've got some good racing coming up on Friday. You've picked out two races where you've got a particularly strong opinion for us.
Oh,
so.
Have I just not?
The 4-10 at Haydock is the race that you came running across the office to me with, saying, I've got an opinion in this race. 7 furlongs for this handicap. 8 runners go to post. Why did you pick this one?
Well, it was very, very competitive. I thought it should be a reasonable betting market as well. A lot of these horses have been in reasonable form throughout the season, but I'm going to stick with a team that can do absolutely no wrong at Haydock Park, and that's Tom Dascombe and Richard Kingscote. As time of recording, they've already had a winner at Haydock Park at 9-1 this afternoon. Mm. So, you know, they continue that good strike rate at the Lancashire track. And I thought Calder Prince was certainly a player again tomorrow afternoon. As I say, course and distance winner in the past. I thought he ran well enough when finishing fourth behind Ken Stone at Chester. And again, I think more than likely, stepping up to 6 furlongs tomorrow afternoon will actually play into his strength. So he'll do for me. Calder Prince, he's going to be the nap selection of two selections. But as I say, competitive. Very competitive indeed, but he gets the nod.
Calder Prince, then the nap selection of Pimmy's two for Friday. I suppose we'll move on to the next best then. The 6.05 at Musselburgh, which is a class 5 handicap over a mile. We've got a bit of form between a few of these that ties together, haven't we, Pimmy? Mazazane at the top there, and El Al a bit further down the way. So they met quite recently.
They did indeed, yeah. They met here over course and distance as well. 9 days ago, Mazadane got the better of El Al on that occasion, but 4.5 lengths was the distance between first and second. But now El Al has a £9 pull in the weight. So £9, 4.5 lengths should certainly bring them an awful lot closer. And as we speak, your Mazarin is your favourite and your El Al is a double figure price. Mm. So again, looking for value for the listeners out there. But what about this fella, Edgar Allan Poe? What can you tell me about him then?
Yeah, I can't tell you about the real life man all that much. But I can tell you this horse has been transformed by a step up to a mile.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, Edgar Allan Poe was born in 1809.
Oh, have you been doing a bit of
research? Exactly. He was an American writer,
yeah,
editor, and poet.
Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes, and he died at 40.
Oh, wow.
Short life. Short life. So how they've come with this name for him, Edgar Allan Poe, I'll never know. But he's been in great form for the Rebecca Masterman Yard of late, and again, he's sure to put up a good performance tomorrow evening at Musselburgh. But I'm looking for value for the next best. It's in the shape of El Al.
Yeah. Warm race, isn't it? The number of past winners in there. You've got Barney's Boy, who's also won recently. Edgar Allan Poe chasing the hat-trick. Kicking the Can also won last time out. Armagnac as well.
It's a fantastic race. I haven't given myself an easy task.
No, you've given yourself a challenge.
I've given myself a challenge. I didn't want to come to the table bearing gifts of maidens and odds on shots. I've come to the table offering a challenge.
Yeah.
And it is a real good race. and a very competitive race. And if the handicap has done his job, something like right, well, we're going to have a cracker. That's for sure.
Yes. So just in summary then, Pimmy, Knapp and next best for Friday's action.
Knapp goes at Haydock Park in the 4.10 in the shape of Calder Prince. Next best, Musselburgh, 6:05, El Al.
Top stuff. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Can't wait.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. Myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Gareth Topham and Kevin O'Malley. Ascot, Haydock and Newcastle, the meetings in the afternoon. Musselburgh and Kempton in the evening. And we'll squeeze in the best of the Irish as well from Down Royal and Kilbeggan. So do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.